This is Progressive Radio, a weekly conversation hosted by Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive Magazine, a leading voice for peace and social justice. For more information about Progressive Radio or The Progressive Magazine, log on to our website at progressive.org.
I'm Matt Rothschild, and welcome to Progressive Radio, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Today, it's a real pleasure for me to have in the studio Ophelia Rivas, an elder and an activist of the Tohono O'odham, the tribe on the border of Arizona and Mexico. Ophelia Rivas, welcome to Progressive Radio.
Just acknowledging the ancestors of the land and very honored to be here this morning.
Were you born on the tribal land?
Yes, our tribal lands have been dissected by the international boundary, and my father's community is in Mexico and my mother's community is in the U.S., and I was born at my mother's community.
In the U.S.?
In the U.S.
And have you gone back and forth over, you know, in
yes.
your childhood? Did
yes.
you constantly go back and forth?
We went back and forth, and not until 9/11 that I fully recognized that there was actually an international border and that it would be militarized, and yet we had always crossed freely across that border to visit our families and conduct ceremonies and those kind of things.
And what was that border crossing like? Was it fenced off? Was it patrolled? Was it?
It was just a cattle fence to keep the cattle from one side to the other.
And were there immigration officials either of Mexico or the United States on that border?
There's federales on the Mexico side, mostly monitoring, the communities from drug traffickers and those kind of things. And on the U.S. side, you would occasionally see some border patrol, but not very many.
But it wasn't like there was a formal crossing that you had to go through?
Yeah, we had traditional routes that were used for trading and for ceremony. That exist still today.
And Ophelia Rivas, you said that 9/11 had an impact there. What? How soon did you realize that 9/11 was going to affect your way of life?
Well, there was a buildup of border patrols before 9/11, and obviously we recognized that there was something happening, and then 9/11 happened, and there was an onslaught of many, many border patrols that came that were very violent to our people and very much controlling our way of life by restricting our movement, by questioning, and really criminalizing us. We were either drug dealers or human traffickers, and because we're brown-skinned and dark-haired, that we were actually undocumented people in our own lands.
Now that did they challenge your identity then when they would see you?
Absolutely, we had to prove that we were Otham from the lands through our maybe our tribal IDs, or they would always request that we carry our passports, which we don't have passports. I was born at home and don't have a birth record. We didn't have running water. We didn't have electricity. We didn't rent our home, so we didn't have documents to establish our residency. Thereby, we were declared undocumented people in our own lands. And myself, I've also been threatened to deportation because I couldn't prove who I was.
How did that happen?
We were traveling across the lands, and after a ceremony, and my daughter at the time worked in Tucson, Arizona, and we had been dancing all night for a harvest ceremony, and I was sleeping in the back seat of the car, and we were pulled over by a border patrol. And he asked me to say whether it's a U.S. citizen or a Mexican citizen. And I said that I was an Otham, and that why was he questioning me, the original people of the land. And so he got very angry, and he pulled his pistol, and he put it at my head and said that I'd have to say whether I was a U.S. citizen or a Mexican citizen. And I said I was an Otham, and he said he would throw me on the pavement and handcuff me, very graphic about what he was going to do to me, throw me on the ground and handcuff me and detain me and deport me. And I said, well, where are you going to deport me to, because Mexico is also our traditional lands. And, you know, that definitely changed our way of life.
How did your daughter react to that?
She was crying, and my grandson was crying, and for a long time, my grandson would point his little finger at people, you know, like a pistol. It really, really devastated our family, and my daughter was so afraid all the time that I was traveling alone and always under threat. I mean, the truth is sometimes very much a powerful tool that a lot of the government didn't want this information coming out to the general public that there's so much violation of our rights on the border.
I'm speaking with Ophelia Rivas. She's an activist with the Tohono O'odham Reservation down on the southern border of Arizona, and the tribe has land on the other side in Mexico as well. She's been active in a group that is against the wall that's being constructed on the reservation. What is the status of that wall?
It's completely, nearly all across the U.S.-Mexico border. We have 74 miles of that international border on across our lands, and in 2003, after 9/11, a 174 page document was introduced by, at that time, the Border Patrol, Chertoff, I think that's how you say it.
Chertoff, yeah.
Chertoff. Mm-hmm. And we reviewed the document, and it said that it was going to be similar to the Berlin Wall, where it would be the thickness of the wall and stadium lights and roads that would go along the border. If that would have happened, it would have been right in my backyard. I live less than a quarter of a mile from the border. And now what's on the land is what they call a vehicle barrier. It's a metal cylinders 10 feet in diameter, and was dug about 5 feet into the ground, and they stagger from 8 feet to 10 feet across the land and attached with, it has a railroad rail running across it and heavy gauge wires also running on the wall. They said it's a vehicle barrier and vehicles cannot cross, but I've also crossed by foot and was told that I'm not allowed to walk across my land and would have to go through a legal port of entry. But I kept saying, but I'm not a vehicle.
The construction of the wall, did you consider that a desecration of land?
Absolutely. You know, as Otam, in our creation stories, we were created with the creation of the mountains and the lands and the formation of our lands where we live. So we're absolutely a part of creation, and we don't separate ourselves from the land and the animals and the plants and everything that's on the land. And to actually stick these metal things in what we call our Mother Earth is very much a desecration of our lands. And not only that they desecrate the land itself, but also our human remains that were dug up during the construction and removed and put into little boxes and completely removed from the area.
These were burial grounds.
Yes, burial grounds. And we did fight our own, not only our own tribe, but the federal government for 4 months, which seemed like a short time, but it was definitely a long time for the remains to be out of the land for that period. And we did receive them back, and we did rebury them.
I'm speaking with Ophelia Rivas. She's an activist with the Tohono O'odham tribe on the border of Arizona and Mexico. I'm Matt Rothschild. You're listening to Progressive Radio. The tribe, the governance of the tribe itself, did not appear to be fighting this as much as you were. Why was that?
You know, the Tohono O'odham Nation, the government system, is very similar to the United States government. it specifically formed that way to be able to receive federal funds and state funds. So it kind of would jeopardize their interest to talk, on behalf of the people, you would think, and we talk for the people that live on both sides of that border that live very traditional lives. And the tribal government seems to have not be interested in advocating for our rights.
So you've had two battles, at least, to wage.
Them. Yes, absolutely. At one point, they did introduce legislation into the tribal council to banish me from the nation for insubordination because I went to the United Nations to talk about our issue with the border problem and the human rights violation.
How did you prevail? And you beat that down.
Yes, absolutely. We had one ally that actually told the tribal council, do you not live in the United States and do you not follow the United States system and these documents, that civil rights document that actually allows her to speak, freely. So that ended that conversation.
Tell me about your visit to the United Nations and what did you present there?
Yes, we went in 2004 and thereafter we have been going, and we introduced an intervention to try to ask for assistance to toward the problem of the border that a lot of people were very much held at gunpoint, run off the road. People were restricted from movement within their communities and especially allowed to go to ceremonies because of these restrictions. And coming to the United Nations is another system that is very bureaucratic, and you would have to know somebody to jump through the hoops. So we did that for 4 years and found that that it was a very much similar system that was not able to help us in any way.
Right now, how do you go across the border for visiting tribal members on the Mexican side or having cultural traditional gatherings?
Mm-hmm. But with very much difficulty. We do have a traditional route that's open, but it's very... right now the roads are really bad to travel on by car, and you can certainly walk for 25 miles to the ceremony site, but a lot of people don't choose to do that. And the port of entry, which is the closest to our side of the our people that do go to the ceremony, is Senoita Lukeville, and most of the time the customs agents there are not informed that the Tohonatam Nation does have an agreement with Homeland Security in 2009 with the Western Travel Initiative to allow us to cross with our tribal ID cards only. So sometimes we're hassled. Sometimes our medicine bundles are inspected, and sometimes elders that had just conducted ceremony are held in detention. So it's a very difficult way to pass through our lands, and especially after ceremony, it's very disruptive to our way of life.
And Ophelia Rivas, on the tribal land in the U.S., on the reservation, Tohono-O'odham Reservation, does Homeland Security just have the right to trample all over the place? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. They seem to be very mismanaged, and the government of the United States seems to not listen to our complaints about how they harass the people. In December, we started doing documentation of abuses of what's been happening to the people. And I also do a Know Your Rights, Know Your Autumn Rights project, where I inform people about their rights. And there seems to be a retaliation, because right after that, two people were severely beaten. One man was actually lives on the Mexico side, but commutes back and forth with his children to meet the school bus every day. And he was leaving from the reservation to go to his home across the border through a traditional route, and was was confronted by a border patrol, and that he didn't have the right to exit on that route. And so he exerted his rights and said that he, you know, he had absolute right to cross. So he was attacked. He was choked in his truck, and he was dragged out of his truck, and he was thrown on the ground and very violently attacked, where they forced their knee on the back of his neck and pulled his arms back and tore the ligaments off one arm. To this day, you know, he's not able to chop wood to provide firewood for his family, and not able to work the few cattle that they have. And so it's a difficult for people that get attacked. And
how about people who aren't even trying to go over to the Mexican side? How are they treated?
Yes, there's continuous searches in our homes without warrants, and searches of our vehicles, and all our exits. You know, the reservation on the United States side is the size of Connecticut, and all exits is manned by a Border Patrol checkpoint, where they check to, your documents to see if you're a documented person allowed to be in and permitted to be in the United States. And many times people are turned around at that checkpoint and not allowed to cross into to go get their groceries, which is sometimes 136 miles away.
Mm-hmm. Have you or other activists challenged those no warrant searches? I mean, how are they allowed to go into your homes without warrants?
It's because we're so isolated, and because the tribal government has allowed these people to run amok, you know, and it just seems like the government gave young people, very young people, mostly white, some Latinos, weapons and equipment just to go and they're like children out there playing with live guns and live ammunition and vehicles that just tear up the land and have no respect for the people. This summer, you know, some of the elders went to pick the saguaro cactus fruit that ripens, and they were followed from their home as they left their yard, and they sat there and watched them the whole entire time when they were picking the fruit. And when they walked back and they were very close to their home, they were stopped and asked for documents. So, you know, that's a daily occurrence out there. One woman had a knock at her door late night. You knock. She thought it was one of her sisters, and she opened the door, and a boot came in and blocked the door and not allowing her to close it. And it was the Border Patrol in riot gear with heavy assault rifles, saying that there was a lot of footsteps, shoe prints around her house, and obviously she was harboring undocumented people, and yet she has grandchildren that play in the area. And so they woke the whole household up to look at everybody's shoes and the print of their shoes to determine whether she was lying or not.
So it sounds like they're treating everyone on the reservation as a potential suspect or a potential criminal, and as someone. It may be the only place in the United States where you have to show documentation that you're a citizen.
Absolutely. That is, you would think that it's a third world state somewhere, and it's absolutely a police state in our lands. And these things occur on a daily basis. Not only are you interrogated when you're going to go get groceries, that now the elders seem to think that if they just write out their list of grocery list and prove that they're actually going to go get groceries, that will, you know, deter some of the interrogation, because that's what they're saying. If you're going to a grocery store, where is your grocery list? So it's sad, you know, because some of the elders are speak very little English, and they thought that maybe this is what would deter that interrogation.
Or if you're like me and you don't write up a laundry list, you're out of luck.
Yes,
like.
Absolutely.
I'm speaking with Ophelia Rivas. She's an activist with the Tohono O'odham tribe on the border of Arizona and Mexico. She's done a lot of courageous work over the years. even gone to the United Nations to plead her case and the cause of her people. The reservation itself, the economy of the reservation, I read somewhere the unemployment is just astronomically high.
Yes, I think that most reservations in the United States, you'll find the same conditions, and especially as isolated as we are. I mean, nobody knew about the Tohono O'odham Nation until 9/11. And then after that, everybody was trying to write some kind of book or document something about the Tohono O'odham Nation. But yes, we have, you know, very high unemployment rates and very poor housing, very poor roads. And the three casinos that are operated on the nation has barely begun to build the infrastructure of the Tohono O'odham Nation. And just to give you an idea, I mean, and my parents still rode on wagons and rode horses and farmed their own lands. And in my younger days, we didn't have electricity and running water till I was a teenager, and that was the 70s. So we're very much behind in technology and in the developing our nation, you know, and it's just the beginnings of it, and yet now we have all this everything that's happening to us with the Homeland Security securing the way of life for the United States citizens and very much violating our rights as original people of the land.
I know, Ophelia Rivas, that a lot of Native tribes are having difficulty with their own youth, that members of the youth are joining gangs, and the gang problem in Indian country is mm-hmm. an increasing problem. Is it for you?
Yes, very much so. You know, at the beginning of the enforcement of securing United States lands, they build a full force in Texas and in California and kind of funneled through the O'odham lands, not only the drug trafficking but the human trafficking, and it was very much a deterrence, you know, to try to kill off as many people through the vast deserts to discourage people from coming across into the United States. But what it has brought is a lot of drug trafficking and human trafficking. Many young people are now sitting in prisons with severe sentences for transporting drugs and transporting undocumented people. And then also we have a high rate of gangs and violence, increasing violence on the nation. And it's all a tribute to poverty, that there is no other way of life to find a job, to have a good education. We still have the Bureau of Indian Affairs mediocre education, and the young people try to go to college and cannot survive there, and there's no system to sustain them there, and so they come home and end up doing drug trafficking and human trafficking.
Speaking with Ophelia Rivas, she's an activist with the Tohono O'odham tribe, one of the biggest tribes actually in the country. It's on the border of Arizona and Mexico. You've also done a lot of international solidarity work with the Women's Earth Alliance and with First Nations. What are those organizations? What kind of work are you doing?
The Women's Earth Alliance have come out to my lands and talked to us and extended their assistance in bringing awareness to the issue, you know. And the different alliances that I've made that are still working today are actually with the Zapatistas in Chiapas we've been building solidarity with each other to expand our world in understanding that it is a global crisis. This attack on genocide on indigenous people throughout the whole entire globe, and to understand that we have survived and how we will continue to survive. And so this building of solidarity, not with just the organizations in the United States, but internationally. And I also went to Bolivia for the climate change summit.
What was that like?
That was incredible. There were so many different people from all over the world that came to advocate for the rights of Mother Earth. And it was it's absolutely necessary at this time with global warming. And to survive as a human being, we need to recognize that Mother Earth has a right to survive, because that is what sustains the humans on this world.
I'm speaking with Ophelia Rivas of the Tohono O'odham tribe on the Arizona-Mexico border. You also mentioned you were in Chiapas, and I read that you were arrested on your way back from Chiapas. What happened there?
We were accused of coming from Guatemala and entering Mexico without documents. But we were absolutely, they knew where we had been with the Zapatistas, and that we were building support with the Zapatistas, and it was not unusual that people building solidarity absolutely will be attacked, and that's what happened to me. I was arrested and imprisoned for four days in the Tapachula prison, and What was amazing there was the youngest person that was there imprisoned was a 1 month baby girl born to a Somalian group that had been traveling across South America to reach the land of the free, the United States of America. And they said, "What are you doing here? Why are you arrested? And why are you here?" And it was just unheard of to hear my story of and the story of other indigenous people of the United States of America, and how we live here in this country.
So that was just clear political harassment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, very much political harassment. It's this kind of harassment has been adopted by the border guards and the border policies of the United States, and it has been really pressured. Mexico has been pressured to man the borders of Guatemala to stop these terrorists from first entering into Mexico and then continuing north to the United States of America.
We have just a little less than a minute left, Ophelia Rivas. Tell us, tell the listener who's in her car or in his office or in the kitchen how he or she might be able to find out more information about your cause or help you out in one way or another.
We have a friend that formed a web page for me. It's called Autumn Solidarity Project on www.solidarityproject.org. And it has a lot of information about what we're working on, what we have been working on, and what we continue to do to survive and fight for our rights as original people of the land.
Well, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you very much.
And if you're listening, you can find out more information. Just Ophelia Rivas, that's Ophelia with an F, and the tribe is Tohono O'odham, that's O apostrophe O, D-H-A-M. Thanks so much for listening today.
Today's program is available online at progressive.org. You can also write to us at 409 East Main Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. Our music is by MUFA. Progressive Radio is produced by Elizabeth DiNovella and engineered at Audio for the Arts in Madison, Wisconsin.